Welcome to Through the Word. Here you are on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Nickham and Jonathan Ferguson guide us through the Gospel of Matthew. Now, here's my dad.
Welcome back to Through the Word. Today, we're in Matthew 17, and I have my good friend Chris Langham here, all the way from Southern California. Chris, why don't you start us out today?
Hey, Jonathan, what are you doing? I start the show, remember? I said that you could have Benjamin do the intro. That doesn't mean that you get to run the whole show now.
I just thought...
All right. Let's try this again. Welcome back to Through the Word. Today, we are in Matthew 17, and I have my good friend Jonathan Ferguson here, all the way from Nairobi, Kenya. Jonathan, why don't you start us out today?
Well, the dialogue sounded a little stilted there, but I guess it'll do. Matthew chapter 17, and today is all about the glory of the King. Verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. This is one of the most magnificent miracles. The Greek word used here for transfigured is where we get the word metamorphosis. Jesus was changed before the eyes of his disciples. The true nature of the glory Jesus possessed in heaven shone through, and the disciples were amazed.
In the last chapter, Jesus ended his sermon on taking up the cross with this statement, "Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." It was a promise that someday soon their faith would become sight. And he doesn't wait long. 6 days pass, and Peter, James, and John saw the reality of their faith, the glory of the kingdom of God.
And standing there with Jesus were two others, Moses and Elijah. Moses represented the law and Elijah the prophets. Now all the law and the prophets point to Jesus as the King of Israel. According to Luke 9, the two were speaking with Jesus concerning what was soon to happen in Jerusalem, the cross.
There was an important lesson for the disciples in this conversation. The disciples had to learn that the path to glory often leads through suffering. Jesus had told them about his coming death, but Peter wouldn't have it. God's plan, salvation for the world, had a price. Jesus would not take the easy way out. He would take the hard road to glory.
Now Peter seems like he understands that something major is happening. He's watching the glory of Jesus being revealed, sees Moses and Elijah, and figures that the kingdom that they have been waiting for has finally arrived. So he suggests that they build 3 shelters for the guys. You see, Peter was thinking of the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles, where Jews would build tabernacles, or shelters, and live in them for a week-long feast. The feast looked back as a reminder of the wandering years in the wilderness, and it looked forward to the day where the kingdom of God would dwell among his people. So I think what Peter was saying was, "All right, the kingdom is finally coming. God is going to dwell with us. Let's get ready to celebrate."
But that wasn't the plan, not God's plan. The kingdom still needed some work, and an important event still had to take place, the cross. Jesus has been trying to tell them, but sometimes we get so fixed on the quick fix to everything that we miss what's really going on. And so God the Father interrupted Peter and told him to listen. Look at verse 5. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Now don't miss how awesome this entire event is. I stood recently on the rim of a live volcano. Now that was awesome. I mean, I was dumbstruck. But this is the glory of God shining forth and the voice of the Father declaring that he loves his Son. I so love that the Father, in his sparing words, declares love for his Son. God is love, and love is inherently a part of God. And he tells us, listen to Jesus.
Now, verse 9. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The 3 were not even to tell the other 9 what had happened. The crowds had already tried to make Jesus king by force. Perhaps if they heard about this experience, they would have tried again. But the three still had questions, and as they walked, they asked Jesus about Elijah. Verse 10. The disciples asked him, "Why then do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" Now Malachi 4 prophesied that before the day of the Lord, Elijah would appear. Jesus agrees that Elijah was to come first, and that he did, but people missed him. Then the disciples realized that it was John the Baptist that they were talking about.
So Jesus and his three close disciples come back down the mountain and find the other nine surrounded by a crowd of people. Verse 14, when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. "Lord, have mercy on my son," he said. "He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him." Jesus calls for the boy to be brought to him. Jesus rebukes the demon. His glory is once again shown in Jesus' power over the demons. But now the nine had a question for him.
Verse 19. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" Jesus told them that their problem was a problem of the heart. They lacked faith. Mark 9 mentions the need for prayer when dealing with demons. The disciples had not been in fellowship with God, and their faith was shrinking. Back in chapter 8, Jesus had praised the faith of the Roman centurion, and in chapter 15, it was the faith of the Canaanite woman. Here, he tells the disciples that their faith was small. Jesus then went on to tell them that even the smallest amount of faith would accomplish great things. Had the nine been praying, seeking the Lord, they would have been able to cast the demon out of this boy.
You can see here that this one really gets to Jesus. After all they'd been through, to still lack faith. Jesus even says, "How long shall I put up with you?" Now, who that's directed at is unclear, but I'm sure that putting up with all of us and our failings, all of our lack of faith, could get tiresome. But he never leaves us, and he never forsakes us. Thank you, Jesus, for your patience with me. But Jesus doesn't leave his disciples that way. He challenges them to strengthen their faith. Nothing will be impossible for them. Now, that's not a recipe for easy street, as if you can just believe strongly enough and God will be your genie. Not so fast. And Jesus reminds them one more time of the hard road ahead. The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him. And on the third day, he will be raised to life. And the disciples were filled with grief.
Matthew chapter 17, the glory of the King on Through the Word.
Through the Word, as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend or listen or support it. So thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder from Through the Word. Jonathan Ferguson is a church planter in Nairobi, Kenya. And he's my dad. And remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing through the Word.
Hey, that was pretty good, Chris. I think we might just keep you. We'll see.
What? Jonathan, you can't just...
Hey, Chris, don't get too excited yet. I still haven't made my final decision.
What are you even talking about? Seriously. All right, that's it. Hey, Benjamin, how'd you like to teach a Bible study with me? I need a replacement for your dad. I think you're old enough. What do you say?
Yes.